You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Break a Bat podcast, where baseball meets Broadway. An attempt to show that my two favorite mediums don't have to live in such separate worlds and maybe even break some stigmas. We're happy to have you with us. Now let's play ball. Hello and welcome to Break a Bat. I'm your host, Al Malafronte, coming at you from the Broadway Podcast Network studios with a really special hitter today. A veteran of the stage and screen, she's one of the Hallmark Channel's biggest all-stars. I guess you could say that's a hall star. That's a thing, right?
Oh, a hall star.
Right? Like, we have all-stars in baseball.
Dad joke.
Sure. Big time dad joke. Right out of the gate.
I had to start with something.
Wow. Very impressive.
You got to find the parallels.
Did you hire a punch-up writer for that joke?
No, that's my own unoriginal, crappy humor.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's one of the faces of the network's annual slate of Christmas films. She has two coming out to kick off this holiday season, Holiday Hearts and Christmas in Evergreen Part 3. If you'll please turn your attention to home plate just beyond the marquee, now batting Ashley Williams.
She's so me. Do we have like a little applause button? No, we can't afford that.
Alan has volunteered to serve as a studio audience, and we'll take care of all sound effects.
I'm plotting myself. What is this? It's not great. Hi, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Of course. You've been busy.
I'm so busy.
You hang out with like Dolly Parton on the red carpet? Like,
seriously, I got to legit hang with her.
How did that happen?
I have a famous older sister.
You do?
Yes.
And you have a famous brother-in-law too?
I do. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a thing.
I know. Well, she was famous and then she married him and then he sort of was becoming famous when they first met. But he is none other than country star Brad Paisley.
I think I've heard of him.
So you're like I don't know from country music. I grew up in New York, right? It's just not me, right? So she it was like in the early 2000s they met. She was like, yeah, I don't like this. It's like a musician. I was like, oh God. Oh brother. This is gonna be a nightmare. I'm like, prepare to not be able to pay any of your bills for the rest of your life. And suddenly they're like hosting us at Christmas of a year, and we're like, thank God.
It's like Garth Brooks stopped by and stuff like that, the whole nine yards.
He's there, he hosts.
Yeah.
Us. No. Oh, yeah. No, he's, Brad Paisley, he's kind of a big deal. So, and then my sister's Kimberly Williams Paisley, and she did this Netflix show it's called Heartstrings. It's Dolly Parton's new show, and it's an anthology series. So I think there's 8 episodes. Each one is based on a Dolly Parton song. So my sister was in Jolene with Julianne Hough. Yes.
Okay.
Julianne Hough.
And I know that only because the only things I've seen her in are like stuff that they took from Broadway and made into movies, like Rock of Ages. Grease. They did like a live TV.
Oh,
thing.
Right. She was in Right.
She's like Olivia. Kind of
amazing.
Yeah, yeah. She's good.
She's like a movie star or a Broadway star. I don't know if she's a star. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, she's good. Oh. She's not better than Kimberly. She's not better than Kimberly
she's
Williams.
She's no Spacey. Ashley Williams.
She's no Ashley Williams, no Kimberly Williams.
She's pretty cute, though. So I flew down to Knoxville 2 nights ago and just, held my sister's purse for the night. And it was so fun because, our picture's being taken. Hi. It was so fun because I got to, I do press and stuff for my own movies, but being able to be there to support my sister was so fun because I was literally holding the train of her dress and holding her purse. And at one point she was like, I'm starving. So I went and grabbed her a taco and I brought it to her. And just as she was holding it up to her mouth and her mouth was wide open, Dolly Parton came up right behind her and goes, hi, Kim. And I swooped in, grabbed the taco and the plate and threw both of them in the garbage. And just started taking pictures. I was like, it's happening.
So you're kind of like a taco caddy at that point bat boy in baseball.
And like a guru. I was like also like a coach.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like who's the person that comes in and like wipes someone's brow in like a box? Oh, I guess that's not a baseball reference, but.
It's a boxing.
There's some sports happening. This is that's the only sports you're going to get out of me. Congratulations. You did it.
That's more than fun.
Yeah. I'm in your corner. So anyway, it was so fun. And then I have my picture taken with Dolly Parton and it was great. And the show was great. We had a great time.
You know your way around like the red carpet at this point, though. So do you still get starstruck? Is that a thing?
I met Michelle Obama and I was severely, like I was incapacitated. Like I couldn't breathe. But at the same time, I felt so, I was so happy. Like I saw her and the only thing that came out of my mouth was, "You make me feel so safe." And I like hugged her and I just was like, I wanted to be like, "Please don't let me go."
That's what comes to mind?
Yeah.
Like, that's like, that's the first thing that comes
just
to your mind.
Like,
when you
can I just like put my head on your chest for a little while and just have you just be my new mom? I was legit starstruck by her, but no, not otherwise. I don't get starstruck. No.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, it's so, I feel like, you know, being in the position that you're in, you get to meet a lot of powerful people, a lot of people that you looked up to. I can't imagine what that's like, aside from the fact that I'm sitting here with you today.
Oh, you must be so starstruck right now. When I came in and started rifling through your refrigerator and was like, "Can I have this Diet Coke?" You were like, "She's in our fridge." Did you see the Judy movie? Yet?
No.
Oh, the Judy Garland movie.
Is it TV film or
it's a
is
movie.
It motion picture in cinemas? All right.
Why are you confused?
I'm sitting here in a Yankee jersey. Do you think I'm watching Judy Garland movies?
Fair. This is why I wondered why you wanted me on your show.
I consider you a separate entity from Judy Garland. I mean, a little different. I mean, if I'm like, I don't associate you with Ruby Slippers or like the
right.
Toto and
no,
the
other, right.
The checkered
Tin Man.
Blue Tin Man.
Oh,
lions.
The checker. Uh huh. Yeah. No. Well, anyway, there's just the people got so starstruck by her, and it was. But you got to see the movie to understand.
Okay.
So we'll talk after. Call me after you see it. But anyway. No, you know what it is though? There are some people that I admire so much that are like personal heroes of mine. And it's not as much that I'm starstruck, but that I'm just confounded by the opportunity to be able to ask them whatever I want. And the pressure is a little intense. But the process of like shaking hands with Dolly Parton is like hilarious because we're not going to have a conversation, you know? And even if we do, it's like, what does she want to talk to me for? Really? "Hi, how are you? Great. Are we going to talk about weather? I don't know. You were great in the show. Thanks." Done.
And that's all you need though.
Right.
Because you're sitting here with a smile talking about it now. So obviously you're satisfied with how it went.
Right. But like, what I would want to do is like have dinner with her and look at her and be like, how do I navigate the world, Dolly Parton? Can you help me? And then I would want to know what she said. That would be amazing. But we're not going to small talk that question.
You've done all right for yourself, though. You don't need, I mean, how much advice do you really need at this point?
Are you kidding me? I take advice from everybody. It's like pathological. I have two children and I work full time and I'm exhausted and terrified.
Wow.
This just got real deep.
I was going to say, out of the
all
gate.
All your baseball fans just logged off. They were like, "And moving on."
Oh my goodness. I was going to say though, no, I think it's very human to feel that way. So it's nice to see that, you know, as well known as you are, that you're still pretty down to earth.
Oh, that's sweet. Thanks.
Now, I want to ask you just a quick question. You mentioned that you're a New York native. Mm-hmm. First of all, only for you, because usually we're pretty heavy on the Yankee decor around here. Do I walk 20 blocks?
Oh no!
And 8 avenues to get that
Wait,
Met hat from my buddy
not,
Coleman.
Do you not like the Mets?
It's not that I dislike them, but I mean, it's. I mean, we've had A-Rod, we've had Mickey Mantle, we've had Babe Ruth. I didn't see the latter two play. Granted,
hold
but like,
on, you guys, I'm gonna blow your mind.
Tell me.
I live in Babe Ruth's old apartment building and in his apartment. It's my apartment.
Was that part of the sales pitch from the realtor?
It was. And we went for it. Literally, he used to live in a building on the Upper West Side, and it was my building on the 7th floor. Now I'm going to tell everybody where I live, but I live in Babe Ruth's apartment.
Do you have a lot of tourists that come by?
Yeah, we've got like a plaque on the wall and the whole nine yards. There's like a little museum in the lobby, like an ode to Babe Ruth. Was
Are you
he
serious?
A Yankee person?
Get out of here. Come on. You're killing me here. All right.
My
yes,
dad
yes, yes,
is
yes.
a poet. My dad does not do sport. And I do feel like, I mean, that's sort of like, you know, we're not really supposed to do that gender conforming stereotype, but my dad never did sports. So
nonetheless, you grew up in Rye. That's an easy Metro North Rye to Yankees. Right. So how the hell did you pick the Mets?
Well, I just feel like that my theory about the Yankees is just that, like, they're going to be okay. They don't need my... They're all right. They've got money. They're doing great. And the Mets are just these, like, little, scrappy... They're just this, like, little underdog team. And they need me. They're like the misshapen apple at the grocery store. Like, they just need my... They need me to buy them.
It's interesting that you feel a mission for fruit at the grocery store. What the hell?
Well, no one else is going to choose that apple.
This is insane. That's the first rationale I've ever heard for anyone who's explained why they're a Mets fan, but I freaking love it. It's awesome.
It's not untrue, though, right?
It's fairly not
Yankees
untrue.
Yankees are going to be just... Fine.
You know what's funny? I thought originally maybe it was because you went to BU and maybe you would go up to like Fenway and they would hate the Yankees there. Was that part of it? No?
No.
It's just
I
all.
Never went to a baseball game in college.
Have you ever been to a baseball
yes.
game?
Okay, yeah. Yes, but it's I dated a guy that was a huge baseball fan and he had Dodger dugout seats in LA. So we would go. And I just remember the hot dogs. I was mostly focused on the Dodger dogs. Have you ever had a Dodger dog?
I've never been to Dodger Stadium.
Oh. Well, if you go, you got to get a Dodger dog. They're the best hot dogs I've ever had.
I believe
and
it.
And I grew up on spready hot dogs, so that's saying something.
Yeah. Well, you're a New York native. We like stuff with a little bit of an edge to it. You know?
Yeah. Like a little bit of like dirt, little like homeless smelling yeah. in my hot dog. Yeah. That's my jam.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Now, here's the thing. I know you're not a Yankee fan. I know that, listen, the baseball knowledge, it's not that much different from many of the other actors and actresses that we get in here. It's, you know, if it's not there, that's okay. You know who Derek Jeter is, though, obviously.
Yeah.
All right. So
I've met Derek Jeter.
Did he ask you on a date?
No. Should I be offended?
I was going to say, I'm surprised because when you were single, I feel like this is real house.
I played a celebrity baseball game with him one time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where was that?
LA.
Oh, it was in Cali.
Mm-hmm.
You love Cali.
I do. I love Los Angeles. As burning as it may be, I love it so much. That feels like my home. And New York is where I like get by and survive.
You grew up here, though. I'm surprised that you don't feel like this is home.
Mm-mm. This is so hard to navigate with two children. New York City's like, it's really tricky. How many kids do you have? Oh, you have two. Yeah. And
she was asking my producer, Alan Seals, I am single and without children.
Two. I'll say it on mic.
Yeah. It's just hard. It's like I'm carrying the stroller up and down the subway stairs and I'm so freakishly strong. Like crazy strong.
Picking up stroller muscles is a thing.
Oh, it's so... Yeah. You'd use your entire body to carry a stroller up and down the subway stairs. And I can carry a stroller with a kid in it, with another kid in my other arms. I mean, I got some groceries. I mean, my backpack is always full of like, you know, frozen riced cauliflower and, you know, sports equipment for the kids and sippy cups and then... There's just so everything is on your body, you know?
Okay. Yeah. No, that, I mean, it could get overwhelming, but I don't think it's worse than like the LA traffic. I wouldn't be able to deal with that.
But see, I would argue, here's my theory. What's happening? We're moaning. What's happening?
Oh, what are you thinking?
No, the kids are strapped in the back of your car in LA traffic.
You're not carrying them on your person, right? And the other thing is that I lived in LA for 13 years. And what I would say is that I didn't get stuck in LA traffic for the last like maybe 5 years I was living there because I'm not an idiot. If somebody asks me to be in, you know, I was living on the east side. If somebody asked me to be in the Santa Monica area on Friday at 3 p.m., I'm going to have a West Side day. I'm going to go to the West Side at 8 a.m. I'm going to go get some coffee. I'm going to go to the movies. I'm going to see all my friends in Venice. I'm going to go to my appointment or my thing or whatever it is at 3 p.m. And then I'm going to go hang out and have dinner there. Am I going to get in the car on Wilshire Boulevard and sit there for 3 hours to get home from my 3 p.m. in Santa Monica? No! The LA traffic has never tried to be anything but what it is.
Let me ask you, so are you saying that you're smarter than everyone in LA, or are you just saying that everyone in LA is an idiot?
I'm saying everyone's an idiot but me. And I'm also saying once you learn the traffic patterns, don't make the mistake of thinking that it's not going to happen to you. Like, just don't do it unless you want to embrace it because you've got like a million phone calls to make and then sit in your climate-controlled car. You know what I mean? Like, go hang the heck out in your car and just have some alone time.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at it. I mean, I'm not wired that way. I get too agitated if I have to, like, sit in one place for too long, especially when I don't control my own destiny. That annoys me.
Whoa, see, that sounds like something you need to unpack. What do you mean control your own destiny?
Like, as far as, like, if I have to get somewhere, but I don't get to dictate what time I get there because there's so much traffic. Like with the subway, I could at least ballpark. If I have to get somewhere by 4 o'clock, if I leave at 3 in New York, for the most part,
I'll get there. Yeah.
But in LA, it's a completely different animal because it's just such a mixed bag.
It's always going to take, at its very worst, it'll take like 2 to 3 hours, but
at the very worst,
but that's literally never happened to me. Like, and also like you check the traffic and then you're like, you know what? I'm canceling. I'm just not going to do this. You know,
yeah, your face like kind of glows when you talk about LA. Are you like trying to move there?
I think we're probably going to move back, this summer. Yeah. I really miss it there. And my kids need a yard. They need a yard.
It's what you grew up with and it's something you want to give to them. Or they're just so active and so hyper that.
I mean, it's, you know, it's like 10, it's going to be, this winter I'm dreading it again, but it's like it's 10 degrees out. We got it. And, they reach this point with the little kids where they need to go. I have two little boys who are, it's like they destroy. They are wrestling and throwing and breaking things and it's 7:12 a.m. and I'm like, we gotta get outside. We gotta run. We gotta jump. We have to, you know. And then it's 45 minutes. I'm like, I can't find my other boot, Mom. And I'm like, really? Like, as opposed to in LA, you just open the door and go, can you please get the heck out of the house and go run it off? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You could do that anywhere with warm weather. Have you ever considered, you know, maybe freeloading at the Paisley's house for like a couple weeks, like when it's, you know, like February break, for example?
Yeah, we go there and it's great.
Warm weather in February, January.
And Nashville's kind of nice all year round.
It is nice.
Yeah, we go there for Christmas every year, which is awesome. And we're going to go next weekend. And they've got a legit farm in Tennessee they've got horses, they've got a donkey named Oliver. They used to have cows, but the cows got really rude and grumpy, and they would stand in the middle of the road and not let us drive. And they would just like stare us down, and my sister wouldn't be able to like leave the house because she was like didn't know how to move the cows.
Did it ever bite anyone?
Cows started biting. They had a cow named like WD-40 or something, and then one named 507. It was all these numbers. And so they had to get rid of them.
And that was that with the cows. So now like the kids think they're going to go to a petting zoo around Christmas. And now there's no more livestock or...
No, we have horses. There were horses, donkey. There's a bunch of like armadillos. Tons of armadillos.
That's not a farm animal. That's like...
It's an animal. You said petting zoo.
I was...
Oh, there's dogs? There's a bunch of dogs.
Well, dogs are, you can have here too. I love dogs. Are you a dog guy?
I'm a freakish dog guy.
Dog
guy? Yeah. I'm a dog person big time. But I can't have it. I have a dog in LA. For a while, I was a dog trainer in LA. It was such a cliche. And I would like drive around on Fridays and pick up a bunch of dogs in a van that were going to be put down. On that following Sunday, like I would go to the kill shelters and adopt the dogs, and then I would take them back to my sister's house and evaluate them to see if I could figure out how to like get them adopted, and then I would take them to the no kill shelters. I became a little obsessed.
That's a labor of love, is what that is.
Yeah, it was intense. I was a little psychotic, maybe.
I actually respect it. I would have told you if I thought that it was like a little like out there, but I respect that because I
think it's
love
out
dogs.
There and kind of cool.
If it was cats, I probably wouldn't say the same.
Honestly, I hate cats.
They're not friendly.
They're so snobby.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You can't warm up to a cat. It's like
not a cat.
A dog's your pal.
You know? Mm-hmm. Also, I think it's because I'm allergic.
Oh, that probably has something
not
to do with it.
That's not the cat's fault. And still, I blame the cat.
Sure, fair. Yeah. That's more than fair.
Yeah.
How did I get here from Derek G?
No idea.
Okay. Yeah. That's, oh, I remember.
I just totally sidelined this entire situation.
That's okay. I love this.
And the interview's over. Thanks for coming, Ashley. What did she talk about? We don't remember. She just talked. I think it was because I was saying about my apartment building. Anyway. Derek Jeter. What was the question?
I asked if you knew Derek Jeter, and
yes.
we got to like being
friends.
Your allergies and stuff like that.
We came back to allergies, yeah.
So what I've taken away is that you're allergic to Derek Jeter.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
That's
and that's why
here.
I don't like him. It's his fault. He's such a snob.
Well, the whole point of it was going to be to give you like a baseball parallel to compliment, and also to enhance your education of the game. I think that's important. He has a nickname. It's Mr. November. So like he had like a lot of big performances in the month of November.
Okay.
Because he was also the first player to actually get to play in the World Series in the month of November after 9/11 because it was delayed.
Oh, cool.
And he hit the first World Series home run, and like the home run call from Michael Kay was, he is Mr. November. I can't do it as well as him. But it was really cool. But from thereafter, throughout his career, the World Series more and more, baseball started realizing with TV ratings, you could still get away with putting the World Series on in November. Anyway, how'd I get there? So talking about New York performers that like kind of run a particular month, there's no baseball in December. You're a New Yorker, mm-hmm. and you kind of like run the month of December on television.
Ooh, yeah.
I would call you Miss December, but is that like unflattering? Does that make you think of like a centerfold like model type thing?
Why would that not be a compliment?
Okay, I just wasn't sure.
You're saying I'm like a centerfold. That's, first of all, never happened to me before.
All right. So,
very, very proud. Very flattered. It's like he passes the baton to me.
Yeah.
November into December. Yeah, because I'm like a Christmas movie person.
It's a good lineage. Jeter Williams.
Yeah.
What do you have in store for us this year?
I'm so excited. So I'm doing, 3 years ago, I did a movie called Christmas in Evergreen. Which was a really sweet little Hallmark Christmas movie. And then they did a sequel. They brought back Holly Robinson Pete and Barbara Niven and Rekia Bernard and a bunch of the original cast. And then I played a cameo in that movie, and Jill Wagner played the lead. And then they brought me and Jill back again for a third installment of Christmas in Evergreen. And same, it's Holly Robinson Pete again, Barbara Niven again. And then this time it's Maggie Lawson playing the lead. And I think they're going to do a fourth. So it's all these stories about love that take place in this quintessential, sweet little town called Evergreen. So I'm really excited about that. And I think that airs like November 27th or something. That might not be true, but
we could cross check and then call you back to do a voiceover to edit it in
or just
this.
Or just look it up. You do it. But yeah, so that's so cute. And then I also did a movie called Holiday Hearts, which airs November 21st. And that's my movie that I did with Paul Campbell. And it's that's a very, very sweet little Christmas. It's a pretty classic Hallmark Christmas movie. And it's this movie is really about Christmas through the eyes of a child. For a variety of reasons, Paul Campbell did God Went Christmas and a bunch of other Christmas movies and or other Hallmark movies. And so he and I have been charged with taking care of this little girl right around the holidays. So we have to do all these, all of her favorite Christmas activities leading up to the holidays. So it's really fun. It's like we do the snowman building and we do the snowball fight and we do the crafts and, the street fair, and and then we sort of like obviously fall in love and make out at the end. It's the best.
Pretty standard with your movies.
Yeah, it's the same movie every time, and we love that. We're very proud.
Now, let me ask you this. When you were studying theater at BU, did you imagine yourself being an actress that was like going to tug at the heartstrings the way you do? Or like, what did you want to do at that time?
I thought I was going to be doing regional theater for the rest of my life.
Not Broadway? Even being a New York native?
I figured I was gonna sort of like scrape by. I really did. I fell in love with Shakespeare my junior year of college, and I just assumed that was what I was gonna do. I was pretty good at it, and I really understood the language very well. And I was just like, "Oh, this is it. This is gonna be." And so I immediately was like, "Well, Oregon. I want to go to Oregon. I want to go to Utah. I'll just travel around and I'll sort of join up with Oregon Shakes." That was my plan. But I came to New York first because I did the Williamstown Theater Festival right after I graduated from Boston University. I was in their non-equity program and I got an agent, which I was a miracle. He saw me in a play there. And so I came here and then I was just auditioning and living with my parents' house in Westchester and commuting into the city. 9/11 happened, and about 3 days after 9/11, I had an audition to understudy Rachel Weisz and Gretchen Mol in a off-Broadway show that Neil LaBute wrote. And I booked it, and that was my first job out of college. And I was like, this is like slightly more legit. Like, it was an off-Broadway show. I was like, this is slightly more legit than I ever thought I would get, you know? I was very surprised.
Was it right here in Midtown? Or are we talking like some underground theater
downtown?
No,
it was up at 72nd. There used to be a theater on 72nd and Broadway, or 75th and Broadway, and I can't remember what it was called.
That's right by the Beacon.
Yeah, it was, like 2 doors down from the Beacon. Right now there's like literally a New York sports club in the place where we used to do
that. How the town has changed.
Right? Oh, New York is the best. New York is the best. Because now I live on the Upper West Side and I walk by it all the time. There was like a Cozy. Remember when there was Cozy? The Cozy Bread. You're too young. There was like bread. They would give out free samples of Cozy Bread.
So they actually gave out things for free around here? Are you kidding me?
For free in New York City. And all the actors would line up like when the free bread would come out and we'd be like, lunch.
You should kind of go to like Costco for that. I was going to say that's totally. That's amazing.
And what was cool about that show is that Rachel Weisz's dad, this isn't cool, but he had quadruple bypass surgery, so she was out. So I went on like 25 times or something opposite Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd was in it. And so I was acting opposite Paul Rudd for like 25 shows. Because I also went on for Rachel Weisz because they were all making out in the show with each other. So when one of them would get sick, then the whole cast would get sick and I would get to go on. So I'd be like, keep making out. That's awesome. It was a really good first job. So
it's interesting because like you're like a, from what it sounds like a pretty classically trained actress, like with all the Shakespeare stuff. And yet you caught the TV bug so quickly, like
so
right
weird.
Away. How did that happen?
Basically, when I did that show, it was called The Shape of Things. And when I did that show, a bunch of people saw me go on because I went on so much because her dad was ill. So, it was a bunch of people from NBC Universal came to see the show. And then my agent at the time was like, you know what? Why don't you and I go to LA for pilot season? We'll go for a month. Nothing will probably happen, but like, let's just go. I was at Paradigm at the time. And my sister was living there. She was dating Pete Sampras.
Jesus, this resume of the Williams girls. Are you going to tell me you dated A-Rod or something?
I've dated nobody interesting. I've been married for like 17 years.
Congratulations. It's kind of a lost art nowadays.
Yeah, I know. I know. There aren't many things I've figured out, but I did figure out like landing an awesome guy early and sticking with it. But she was dating Pete Sampras and he was living upstairs with her and I was in the basement like auditioning for pilots and I booked one of the pilots, which was a sitcom called Good Morning Miami. It was like 2001 with Mark Feuerstein, who has gone on to do great things too. But anyway, it was an awesome first job and it ran for 2 seasons. And then I've sort of like, and then I made Snow right after that show was canceled.
That's like your first career Grand Slam, Snow, because everyone still loves it.
Amazing. Tom Cavanaugh, man, you can't beat it.
You can't beat Ashley Williams either, though. Give yourself a little bit of credit
here. This is the best show I've ever been on.
Where baseball meets Broadway.
You guys love me.
Alan, am I fanboying more now, or was I fanboying more with Al Jardine?
Oh, gosh. Fanboying. Oh, this is a toss-up. Completely different sides of the same coin.
Yeah. Yeah. Al Jardine, one of the Beach Boys we had in here.
Oh, that really?
Was cool. But this is cool, too.
He's like, oh, but this is cool, too. All right. Well, you got a personal connection to Al Jardine from your dad.
Yeah.
You were telling me.
That was cool because, like, growing up, like, you know, that you kind of get past the, you get passed along music from, you know, your parents and stuff like that. So I lost him early. And
you lost your dad early and he loved them.
He loved the Beach Boys. Yeah. So we used to sing in the car and stuff like that. And then, you know, it's a rich catalog too.
But, that's so cool.
Yeah. You know, right. It's funny. Usually maybe it's the holidays that I that's probably why I even mentioned it to you, Alan, the other day. Cause it was like, you know, it's stuff that comes to your mind this time of year.
Totally. Yeah. I get it. Oh, I can see that little sucker for Hallmark movies in you now. I can see it starting to come out.
When you live with two girls, like back, you know, around, you know, the holidays and Thanksgiving weekend, like what the hell else are people going to put on TV around that
sweet,
time of year?
Sweet, soft little underbelly coming out. Big fan. You like come out like you're like a sports guy, but actually.
A little sensitive, I guess, right? I've got drama mask on a baseball bat behind
you. You're my demo.
What does that mean?
My demographic. Like you're my. You're like my kind of, you guys love me.
Hell yeah. It's so good.
I love a guy who watches Hallmark movies.
The audience is going to love this fun fact. Oh my God. The Instagram that we connect on shills like 100 mile per hour pitchers and like grand slams and like all-star baseball players.
Really?
And now we're like just, you're
now they're all
going to
know who you really are.
Jesus.
You're just like a little cup of hot cocoa and a soft robe. And a
don't
nice
use that voice
Hallmark
on me.
Movie.
You're killing me. This is an ambush, and Alan is instigating it. I can tell.
I am doing nothing but monitoring audio levels.
I would not have a career if it wasn't for somebody like you, so thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I'm into it.
Now, I just want to ask you another quick question. I touched on the TV thing. I need to hear your thoughts. Not that I didn't want Ted to end up with Victoria, and not that I didn't want it to end up with Robin, but what do you think of the ending of How I Met Your Mother?
I thought it was brilliant. I really did. I did not see it coming. And Carter and Craig have become good friends. I actually went trick-or-treating with Craig last night because our kids, you know, anyway, he was up on the Upper West Side, so we all went trick-or-treating together. And they're such smart, cool guys. And the fact that the show, and by the way, I was going to be the mother if the show had gotten canceled after the first season. Do you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah. Cause it was, I was sort of the main girlfriend that first season. And apparently if the show had gotten canceled, I would have been the mother, which would have been so good for my career, but it's fine. It's fine.
Victoria, I think appeared in more episodes than the mother though. So it kind of worked out all right.
Maybe.
I think so.
I don't know. I mean, it's not a competition, but for the rest of her life, she can say, she's the mother and I'm like the one that's not dating Ted anymore.
But you're Buttercup. Isn't
my
that
buttercup,
good enough?
Totally. So yeah, it was such a good job. That was such a good job. And I just think, yeah, I think the ending was really smart and really heartbreaking and beautiful. And I was so honored to be part of that show.
I want to ask you, you've done a lot of TV. Would you ever consider coming back to Broadway?
Yeah, I think I really would need like a great script. It's also really hard with little kids, like, you know. And when I'm becoming a director now. Yeah. So I directed a short film called Meats, which is about a female butcher.
So you're not a vegetarian then, like a lot of the actresses that I interviewed.
No. Why are you throwing pens at me?
That was
it's fine. So it's fine. I didn't realize it'd be such a visceral reaction to the meat.
I'm Italian. We talk with our hands. That's a thing.
So Meats is about it. It's about a female butcher. I'm not a vegetarian, but I did go through a phase of being vegan for a while. But then Thanksgiving night, I was craving the turkey so badly that after everybody went to sleep, I opened up the refrigerator and I just took the turkey out of the refrigerator and started eating it with my bare hands.
That's savage. That's not just breaking the vegan thing. That's like,
I was a terrible vegan. I also started fainting. I just think I need the amino acids. But the short film that I made is about a pregnant woman who's been a lifelong vegan who's craving meat. And she decides that she's going to hire a nose-to-tail butcher to teach her about like the ethics, like the ethical way to consume meat. And she just can't stop crying.
Wait, do you only direct it or are you acting?
I directed it and I acted in it. Yeah, I'll send it to you. It's pretty good. I'm proud of it. So we're submitting that to festivals. And then I'm going to be directing two movies of the week this year. So I'm really excited.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. We're going to certainly plug them on the Instagram.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Is it too soon to announce like dates and times?
Yeah,
and stuff,
I can't talk about it yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll
my
do
deal's
it
not closed. But
we're teammates now. Like, you know, some shows use the expression like friends of the show.
Oh.
So we use like teammates
okay.
of the show.
Okay.
Just
great.
Another corny joke,
I'm
like the
in.
All-star thing.
I'm
right?
so in. I love it.
Now, we love to play games here on this show, and you've accomplished a lot on the stage and on the screen, but now it's about to get tough for a couple minutes.
Oh, God, now I got scared. Should I jump out the window? I'm looking right out the window.
I mean, we're 21 floors up. That's like...
it won't go well for me.
Don't do that.
Okay. I'll just play the game, I guess, then.
Just think of it this way. I want you... listen, I know you were a track star, so it's not like you're completely
numb to athletics. You Wikipedia'd me. Wow.
BroadwayBuzz.com interviewed you also. Because you had a little Broadway stint.
I did have a Broadway stint. Yeah.
All right. So the name of the game is called Fastball Derby. Game 7 of the World Series, which is like a sudden death baseball scenario, okay? Like each team has won 3 games apiece. This is going to determine the trophy, all right? 9th inning, 2 outs, tying run on 3rd, go-ahead run on 2nd. There's a pitcher on the mound throwing 100 miles an hour. We ask you a question, you say the first thing that comes to your head.
So anxious.
You're sweating.
I just got really anxious. Literally, my hands are... Okay, what's the question? Oh, you're going to ask me.
We're
going to
ask you a few of them.
I thought maybe I missed the question. I'm like, how long was I out? I think I blacked out. What happened?
That's what you imagine yourself in like baseball actually does, huh?
Totally. Oh, God. Okay, go.
Favorite New York City meal?
Spaghetti.
Fair. From where, though?
Oh, you know what? My favorite pasta place closed. It was this place over on 9th Avenue in the theater district, and it's gone. But they had this, like it's like angel hair pasta with just red sauce. Come on. And it was like $9, you know? That's my kind of meal. I'm trying to think of other favorite meals. You're not supposed to think, right?
Hey, there's no rules with Fastball Derby. That's the other fun part
about that's
it.
Good. it's like New York pasta, you know? That's the best.
Actor or actress you've yet to work with but would like to?
Bill Irwin. I would love to work with Bill Irwin.
He listens to the show.
No, he does. Stop it.
I have no idea.
He's like a hero of mine. I love him.
Your favorite non-Ashley Williams Christmas movie?
My sister did a movie called The Christmas Shoes so long ago. It's a beautiful movie. I loved it.
The role and performance you're proudest of?
I played a character named Claire in a movie called Something Borrowed, which was a Warner Brothers movie with Kate Hudson and Jennifer Goodwin. And I'm really proud of that performance. I played like a psychopath.
What, interesting. I can't peg you like going method like that. That's like a...
I didn't go method.
Oh, so you just like...
I was very healthy about how I played a psychopath.
I was going to say, because like you hear all those stories about like Heath Ledger getting into character for like the Joker and stuff like that. Like I feel like to play like a character like that.
Well, she was very light psychopath. She wasn't like murdering people. She was like psychotically in love with John Krasinski and couldn't stop eating. It was like... the most fun I've ever had.
You grew up in New York. Did you come to a lot of Broadway shows growing up?
I sure did. Yeah. We went to the theater a lot. Yeah.
What's your favorite Broadway show of all time?
Oh my gosh. That is so hard. I mean, the Ferryman was amazing. I mean, I'll never forget seeing Les Miserables when I was in fourth grade and I started crying. That was incredible. I mean, I really like Dear Evan Hansen. I'm really looking, oh, sorry, that's something I've seen. I'm really looking forward to seeing Slave Play. I'm going to see it next week. Let's see. Oh my gosh, I think that might be it. We've seen so much. Yeah.
Top three Christmas songs.
Silent Night. What's the song?
Didn't you sing that one in like one of the movies? Well, didn't you like
Silent
sing at the piano?
Way too expensive for a Hallmark movie.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to think of First Noel. That's what it was. That's what it was. You sang what? Do you sing?
No.
Okay, so they put like a voice track to like, maybe it was Lifetime.
Wait a second. I know what you're talking about.
Like the piano.
I know what you're talking about. I did a movie about, it was like a sad movie about like a girl spending Christmas in the mall. I never saw the movie. I never saw the movie, but I did it and there was a scene where I was started to break into song sitting at a piano and on the day, like, by the way, what I always say is like, I'm a terrible singer, but I'm very enthusiastic. So on the day I like sang it and I think it was, I don't remember even what song it was, but I break into this song and I get a call like after we wrap and they're like, hey, we want you to come in and just record the song again because like the audio wasn't great. And I was like, awesome. So I went in and like put the cans on my ears and just like sang out into the darkness. And I was like, I think I'm like a singer. Like this is some of the most fun I've ever had. And the movie airs, my Aunt Diana texted me and she goes, you have a gorgeous voice. And I wrote back, really? Oh my gosh. And I start getting these text messages from people being like, I had no idea you sang. Your voice is so beautiful. And I was like, I want to watch the scene where I start singing. So I find the movie. I fast forward in the movie. They put someone else singing in over my voice.
So everyone thought it was you. I figured it wasn't you, but I don't know you as well as your aunt. So that's... Holy cow. What a reveal. I'm sure that people must have been...
Like,
did you not tell them in any way? Like,
well, no. I actually thought it was so funny. It's like, guys.
So wait, we got Silent Night. And what? Give me two more.
Oh, I mean, the funny thing is, like, can anybody name three off the top of their head?
And that's why it's Fastball Derby, no rules.
Oh, man, this is so hard. Like, what's someone that's like, God rest ye merry gentlemen? I love that song.
That's a good one.
I think it was in Home Alone or something, right?
Might have been.
Right? I need to brush up on this because I'm going to a Christmas convention next Friday and they're going to be like asking me questions like this. I mean, you know, I'm going to go with like Frosty the Snowman. I do a lot with my kids now, like all year round. It sort of goes with, you know, the territory.
I love it. And lastly, best piece of advice anyone ever gave you?
Best piece of advice anyone ever gave me. My dad told me when I was like in eighth grade and I was freaking out about like people in school, girls talking and blah, blah, blah. My dad said, we wouldn't care so much about what people thought about us if we realized how little they're actually thinking about us. And that actually like helps me every day that I assume that everybody else's brain is just as sort of like focused on themselves and worried about their own thing as my own. And once I can remind myself that everybody's focused on their own stuff, it really helps me because nobody's sitting there thinking bad things about me. I'm so nice, you know? So
yeah.
That really helped me.
That's awesome. I love it. Ash, you've been awesome.
Oh, good.
And you guys have a good holiday season planned, right?
Yeah. We're going to do Christmas in New York this year. Yeah, we're going to go ice skating and we're going to go see Frozen and we're going to do it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that'll close out the ball game here on Break a Bat. Thank you again to Ashley Williams.
Can I keep this?
That's actually my friend Coleman's. You actually
not
can't.
New.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you really want it?
No.
He's been wearing that for years.
I actually have a Mets hat.
I'm glad I didn't get you one.
Is this a Yankee hat? No, this is a Mets hat. It's a Mets hat.
Usually we give those out, but we do gifts after the program for this particular episode. So
sure,
we'll
do that sure.
After, all right?
Wait, I don't need a gift. Do you know how much Diet Coke I drank when I walked in the door? Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, you got it, Ash.
It's really fun.
All right. That'll close out the ball game here on Break a Bat. I'm Malafronte signing off from the Broadway Podcast Network studios. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to Break a Bat. This is produced by the fine folks at the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit and subscribe at bpn.fm/breakabat. You can find me online at break_a_bat_podcast. And you can also find the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram at Broadway Podcast Network. It's been so great having you here with us today, and we'll see you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.